Surah, we are going through Surah Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus, ayah number 3. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyina wa habibi qulubina, Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين والصفوة الخيرة من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش يدبر الأمر ما من شفيع إلا من بعد إذنه ذلكم الله ربكم فاعبدوه أفلا تذكرون إليه مرجعكم جميعا وعد الله حقا وعد الله حقا إنه يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده ليجزي الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات بالقسط والذين كفروا لهم شراب من حميم وعذاب أليم بما كانوا يكفرون صدق الله العلي العظيم. Verse number 6 in Surah Yunus is an important verse. And we mentioned last week that it is comparable with verse 255 in chapter 2 in Surah Al-Baqarah. That verse in Surah Al-Baqarah is named Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض. There are two expressions in the Holy Quran in regards to God's power and God's authority. One is in chapter 2, verse 255, Surah Al-Baqarah, which is Kursi. And the second one in this chapter, Surah Yunus, ayah number 3, which is Arsh. What's the difference between Kursi and Arsh? Kursi is the chair, and Arsh is the throne. Why sometimes God says, uses the term chair, and some or seat, and sometimes he uses the one which is called Arsh, throne. Is there any difference between them? Or they are synonymous to each other? Definitely there is a difference between them. Our exegetists, Mufassireen, believe that Kursi is a reference to the physical realm of this universe. What you see, Kursi encompasses God's authority and God's control and God's power over what we see, the physical realm of this universe. While the Arsh is a reference to God's authority and God's control of what? What's the opposite of physical? What is the opposite of physical? Metaphysical. Things that we cannot see with the eyes. Such as what? Such as spirits, ruh. We cannot see with the eyes. This is metaphysical. Physical. Such as angels. Do we have angels? Definitely. Look at yourself, mashallah. You are all angels. So angels, spirits, these things, we cannot see them. There is another world behind this one. This world is very small. A baby in his or her mother's womb, they think that the womb, it's the entire universe, the entire world. They don't know when they get out, wow, there is a much bigger universe waiting for them. The story of the baby is like us. We think that this is the entire world. But when we exit from this, we go somewhere else, we find this earth to be so small. In comparison to the akhirah, to the hereafter, to the next chapter, this is nothing. This is so confined, so small, so narrow. When I used to live as a child in Karbala, I used to think Karbala is the biggest city in the world. Then I moved to Kuwait. Kuwait was bigger. Oh, wow. Then Kuwait is bigger. I thought Kuwait is the biggest. Then from Kuwait, I went to London. Then I realized that Kuwait is nothing compared to London. Then I came to Los Angeles, America. And from here, inshallah, to Jannah. Inshallah ta'ala. So this is, the akhirah is incomparable with the dunya. Allah says in the akhirah there are no limits. Here, there are limits. Even though this state is so huge, but still it has boundaries. America is so huge, huge continent, but yet it has boundaries. It ends somewhere. You go to the Pacific, it ends. You go to the Atlantic, after that it ends. The akhirah has no end. Allah says this paradise has no limits and has no end. So here, the throne is a reference to God's control over that metaphysical world that we cannot see with these eyes. The world that is filled with spirits, with angels, with the hellfire, with paradise, with other things. That's the difference between the kursi, which is the seat, and the throne, which is the arsh in the Quran. Now, we discussed in the previous week the ayah number 3, we reached the middle of it, where it says, يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرُ تَدْبِير. My friends, in Islamic theology and philosophy, we study Tawheed. Tawheed is the most fundamental and the most basic of religion. It's to study Tawheed. If they ask you one day, what do you learn in religion? What do you learn in Islam? What is the most fundamental aspects of your faith? If you ask a Christian, they tell you immediately who is the most important subject in Christianity. Huh? Jesus. Jesus. Who is the most important subject in Islam? It's Tawheed. Allah. How to get to know Him? Allah is the entire work. Allah is the entire job. Other things are subsidiaries. But the main subject is Allah. Therefore, we have to focus on Tawheed and the branches of Tawheed and the dimensions of Tawheed. We have to study them. There are several dimensions of Tawheed. What is related to today's, tonight's subject is Tawheedul Walayah. Meaning the oneness, the unity, the integrity of the leadership of God. Leadership of God. And this leadership has two branches. One, at-takwiniyah versus al-tashri'iyah. Tashri' means legislation. It means that you have to believe that in this universe there are certain rules and regulations. Certain rules and regulations that govern this universe. And these rules and regulations are introduced by whom? By the creator of this universe, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to believe that the legislator in this universe is God, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is al-walaya al-tashri'iyya, the legislative leadership of God. Lawmaking. God is a lawmaker. God is a lawmaker. This is number one. The second branch, al-walaya al-takwiniyya. Takwin is the creation. That God is the creator and the manager at the same time. He manages. And management in Arabic is called tadbir. The same thing in Farsi. In Farsi language. Tadbir. Mudabbir. Tadbir is someone who manages, who regulates, who's a caretaker, who's a controller. Tadbir. Mushrikeen and those who are described as being polytheist, mushrik, they had no problem to accept God as a creator. They admitted that God is the creator. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. Oh, Ya Rasulullah, if you go to them and tell them, who created the heaven and the earth? Who created the sun and the moon? Immediately they say, God. But they had a problem with another aspect. Not with khalq, creation. They had a problem with tadbir. They thought that God, when He created this universe, He does not interfere. He quit His job. And He's sitting there, doing nothing. And He is asking certain spirits or angels to take care of the affairs. And He's doing nothing. He's retired. God is retired at the age of 65, 67. He's receiving his pension. He's sitting there sipping a cup of coffee and He's doing nothing. This is how they thought. They thought that God delegated His responsibility completely to other entities. Do you follow me on this? Quran says this is wrong. God is still in charge. He's still in the command and control center. He's still there. God did not resign. Now, sometimes God delegates some responsibilities, some, to certain things in this universe. Such as what? Can you give me an example? Can you give me some example of how God delegates, incorporates, God employs certain people? And I mentioned why He employs. Not because He is incapable. Not because He's too busy. Not because He's too busy. Not because He cannot tend to other affairs. No. He can attend to zillions and zillions of affairs in the same time, at the same time. But there is a reason for that, and I mentioned the reason last week. And some of you are very smart. You remember what I said last Thursday. Now, an example of how God incorporate some people, employ some people, assign certain tasks to certain entities. Where is this example? In the Quran. The Quran says, let me give you an example. Who do you think receives our soul when we die? أنت لا تحكي. Who do you think receives our soul when we die? God. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtaha. He says in the Quran, I receive your soul when you die. I receive it. But then, in the same book, in the same Holy Quran, there is a verse. It says, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ. Say to them, O Muhammad, say to your congregation, to your community, that the angel of death, مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ, is the one who is going to receive your souls. So who receives my soul, God or the angel of death? I'm a bit confused here. Give me the answer. Exactly. The one who receives my soul is God. But sometimes God delegates this task to the angel of death. So it is God's job, primarily, independently, originally, it's God's job. But sometimes God delegates. Like, I'll give you an example. How did you come here? By what you came here? By what means of transportation you came to this mosque tonight? By car. So you can say the car brought me here. But did really the car brought you? Or someone was sitting behind the wheels? You were driving the car. The car is a vehicle. The car is a vehicle. So you brought yourself here. You are the driver. You were giving orders to the car. Go right, go left, go straight, and then you get here. So it is you who came here through the car. It is God who takes your soul through the angel of death. This is one example. What is the second example in the Quran? Second example in the Quran. It's about healing. Who does the healing and the curing when we get sick? It's God. But sometimes God says, I do that through certain things, which is in the Quran. Such as what? Huh? God does not say doctors. In the Quran, what does he say? Healers. He says what? He says there is something that when you eat it, there is shifa in it. Oh, my God. You always say this to your wife every single morning and you forget about it now? Don't you tell her, hey, honey. Asal. Honey. You mention this every single morning. Honey, bring me this. Honey, bring me that. Allah says, Asal, the honey, fihi shifa'un linnas. We put healing in it. So the healing is from God originally, but through a channel, through a means, through something called honey or asal. Originally from God, He's the source of healing. Bil asala. Originally, it is God who does the healing, but through certain means. Who is the sustainer who gives us what we have in this universe? Whether it be it food or a drink or clothing or anything else. Who is the sustainer? Who is the Razzaq? Razzaq is sustainer. Who is the sustainer? It's God. But God says in the same book in the Holy Quran, وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا وَكْسُوهُمْ. God says to the parents, to the fathers and the mothers, sustain your children. You are sustainers of your children. So I can say I am also Razzaq. Because God says about me. But am I Razzaq independently from God or dependently on God? Which one? Dependent on God. I work on behalf of God. God says you are my agent. You work for me. It is true that you are the breadwinner, but you are the agent of God. Originally, God is the sustainer. Are you with me? Do you follow me on these examples? Now, tadbir does not mean regulating and managing this universe does not necessarily mean, listen to this sentence carefully, does not necessarily mean that God himself executes things by himself. Sometimes he delegates. Now, why does he delegate? Can you tell me? What's the reason he delegates? Is he too busy? Does he want to take a break, take a nap, and he says someone else does the work in my absence? Does he take maternity leave from office? So why he delegates? Do you remember last Thursday? Do you remember what we said last Thursday? What's the philosophy of God employing, delegating his authority to the angels? Ahsant. Because of the elements, the concept, an important concept that governs this universe called cause and effect. Illah and ma'lul. Sabab and musabab. Illah and ma'lul. God says, I want you to learn this. That in this life, you have to have a cause. In order for you to have an effect, you have to have a cause. Because if you don't learn this, what will happen? What will happen if we do not learn cause and effect? What will happen? Tell me, what will happen? Our life is not going to be organized. I tell you how. Because you believe in God as the sustainer. He's the one who gives money. Then you don't go to work. You sit at home. You go to church. You go to the mosque. Oh God, please, this month, just $1 million, no more. Send me the money. Because you say, I'm the sustainer, so send me the money. God says, I would not work like that. You work, and I'll send you the money. Or God, I need knowledge, but I need to stay at home. I don't want to leave my room. I don't want to go to school. I want to get A plus without doing my homework. Some kids, they do that. They want to get A plus, but they don't want to do homework. God says, I would not do that. Because I have cause and effect. I want you to study hard. I will make sure you get A plus. Or, God, I'm sick. Some people, they have spiritual sickness, mental sickness, or physical sickness. I don't want anyone to know God. I don't want to see a doctor. I hate seeing doctors. I hate going to hospitals. Well, we all hate going to hospitals. But God says there is a way. There is a way to protect yourself, to keep yourself healthy. There is a way. You have to go. You have to get the medicine, and I will send the healing. I will put the healing in that. This is cause and effect. Cause and effect is very important. It's a motivation for us that we are here to work, not to be lazy. In some Muslim countries, at the peak of the time, which is 10 a.m. in the morning, where people have to work, people have to work. I have seen this, and I have said this many times here, because I experienced this. Nobody told me this. I went to some Muslim countries at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., where people are supposed to be at factories, schools, at the marketplace, working, producing. They sit in cafes. Tea house, kahwa khuna, tea house. It's packed, believe me. You go to Europe, these cafes are packed in the evening, empty during the day. But in Muslim countries, it is packed during day and evening, alhamdulillah. Good business. People don't work. The economy is dead. They depend on receiving money, begging from wealthy countries, the Gulf nations. They give them money. They don't work. Allah says, such ummah, such community shall not be successful. And I'm not going to listen to your prayers. Keep praying, and I keep ignoring you. Because you don't work. What's wrong with you? You are 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old. Why don't you go and work? God sent messengers all his messengers, all of them, including Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were workers. They worked. They struggled. They struggled, all of them. All the prophets. None of them was unemployed. None of them was lazy. They were working. They were working. This is to teach us that if you want to be dignified, to have izzah and dignity and honor, you have to work. You work and I will send you. I back you up. This is why it's very shameful if someone goes and claims social security while he's able to work. He's able physically, he's able mentally, he's able socially, he's able, nothing wrong with him. And then he depends on the government and he says, give me. This is shameful. This is unacceptable in Islam. This person is not a good Muslim. This person is not. Sometimes you have a physical disability, maybe sickness, that's a different story. Or you are trying to find a job, you can't find for 2 weeks, 2 months, but for 20 years you don't work, this is unacceptable in Islam. Islam does not teach us to be lazy. Islam says, I want you to work. You go, the harakah, the motion from you, the barakah from Allah. I'll give you. I'll send you. And now you come to Muslim countries, the rate of unemployment is the highest. Is the highest in Muslim countries. They read their book, but they don't practice it. They don't benefit from their book. They don't practice it. Are you surprised why we have wars in Muslim countries and why we have refugees and why we have pain and why we have ISIS? Because we don't follow the book. We don't follow the teachings of the book. So God says, I can do the work myself, but I chose to delegate some of my authorities to the angels, وَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا, and I call them مُدَبِّرَات, meaning they are managers, not because I'm lazy. Because I want you to know that this life depends on cause and effect. If you need to see the effect, you have to have the cause. If you need to see the sabab, if you need to see the sabab, you have to see the musabbib. This is how it works in this life. Now, another issue here. Some of the polytheist mushrikeen, they thought that God completely delegated his powers entirely and absolutely to the angels. And as I said in the beginning, he resigned. He retired. He's not working. This is not right. This is not right. One of his names is Ar-Rab. Ar-Rab comes from what? Murabbi. Murabbi a team of football. نمیخونید شما؟ Murabbi a team of football. Allah is Murabbi. But Allah does not only train the football, you know, games and clubs. He's the Murabbi of all of us. Allah is the nurturer. Murabbi means nurturer. Sustainer, provider. Allah is Murabbi. But the polytheists, they did not understand this point. They thought that God is only creator, but he's not Murabbi. He's not nurturer. So who they took as nurturers? Quraysh, the mushrikeen, the polytheists. Who they took as nurturers? Idols. Idols. And they named them. They put names for them. Wood. One of them is wood. Suwa', Yaguth, Ya'uq. Ajib Gharib. Yani. Names are very weird. They took them as nurturers. They create a big idol And then they come to him and they say to him, please, I need to get a married, to get a wife. Please, help me to get married. Help me to find a beautiful wife. Please, I am hungry tonight. I want you to fill my stomach. Please, my wife is barren. She cannot conceive. Help my wife to conceive. This is how they approached them. Although they knew that God is there, they believed in God, but at the same time, they did not ask God for help. They asked the idols. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully here. Open your eyes, your ears, and your mind. Some people say, okay, you guys, the Shia, you do the same. You do the same. You go to Imam Rida, oh, Imam Rida, please, I want a wife. I want money. I want healing. I want a family. I want a child. Don't you do the same? So this is shirk. What is the answer here? What is the answer here? The convincing answer, the rational answer from this book. Do you have an answer? Have you thought about it first? Stand and say it clearly. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Pipeline to Allah? Okay, thank you. Pipeline to Allah. The difference, my friends, between worship, between the idols, when Quraysh asked the idols, and between us, the Shia, when we ask Imam Rida or Imam Ali or the Prophet or any Imam, this is the difference, very fundamental difference, is that the idol worshippers, they said in the Quran, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَا إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We worship them. We worship the idols. Do you worship Imam Rida? Do you worship him? Do you believe he is himself independently from God? Independently from God. He is the sustainer? No. No, we don't think like that. What we think is that Imam Rida, yes, intercede on my behalf to God, to the source of sustenance, source of healing. The source of healing is not Imam Rida. The source of healing is there. And we don't worship Imam Rida. While Quraysh, the pagans, the polytheists, they said, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ. We worship them. We worship the idols. We don't worship the idols. That's the big difference. We look at our imams not as lords or creators or sustainers. We look at them as true slaves and servants of God. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. And Allah says, I love this servant. I love Muhammad. I love Imam Rida. I love Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. So if you go to them, I would listen to you. If they intercede on your behalf, I would listen. There is nothing wrong with that. This is tawheed, actually. This is exactly the cause and effect. Even going to God, there is a way. There is an expedited way. You can call upon God anytime, and He listens. But God says sometimes when you go to them, I would listen faster. I would listen faster. I would not reject their call. I would not reject their shafa'ah. I would not reject it. So this is the difference here. The difference is very fundamental, very big. It's not a small difference. Very big. Even when you go to a doctor today, if you go to this doctor thinking that he is the absolute source of healing, this is kufr. This is kufr. You are rejecting God. But if you go to the doctor knowing that he's the means, he's the agent of God. He's not the main source. He can give you healing, but through God. God is the one who's giving you healing through this. This is Iman, and this is Tawheed, and this is monotheism. Do you pay attention to the difference, my friend? Do you have any question in this regard? Okay. So this is Tadbir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا مِن شَفِيعٍ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرُ ما من شفيع إلا من بعد إذنه. Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He is the source of guidance, He's the source of guidance, He's the source of giving, He is the source of every motion in this universe. Nothing takes place in this universe without His permission, without His approval. Then why He allows us to do something bad? Why there is a lot of bad things happening right now? Answer my question. Ahsant. Ahsant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of action. But at the same time, He says, I'll give you the power, the strength, but I want you to choose whether with this power or strength you're going to do good or you're going to do bad. Do you remember the example that I always use here? Do you remember what example I use? The example of a father giving money to his son. He says, Daddy, this is $100 gift. It's up to the son to use it buying good things or to use it otherwise, to go and buy something bad with it. It's up to him. He has a freedom of choice. The source of money is the father, but the freedom of choice is with his son and daughter. It's exactly, this is the relationship between us and God. God says, I give you this power or this strength, this ability, this tawfiq, this opportunity to do good, not to do bad. I want you to do good with it. This Quran is filled with verses, ayat, that all people, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى خَيْرٌ. We have given you clothing. We have given you shelter. We have given you the blessings. But at the end of the day, لِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى خَيْرٌ. The garment of piety and righteousness is the best. Allah says, I am giving you all this universe at your disposal. But use it in building yourself, not in destroying yourself. Many people today, they use the money not for their happiness, for their misery. Those who take the money and they go to Vegas or somewhere else to gamble, what will happen to them at the end? Are they going to be happy after 2 years, after 4 years, after 10 years? They are not going to be happy. So they destroyed their life with their own money, where they were supposed to build themselves and build their families, they destroyed themselves with it. Those who use the money to do drugs, you know, some drug cartels, you know, their dealings is in billions of dollars, billions of dollars. They can build cities, they can build schools, they can build orphanages, hospitals, in their own countries. But they choose to use that money to destroy people's life. With the money, they destroy people's life. The one who does alcohol, an addict, he does that with his own money and with his own choice, not something that God wanted him to do. Although some people, they blame it on God. Oh, God put me in this situation. God put me with this person. God brought me to this country. This is wrong. It's not God. It's yourself. Because you know how? Because when they are successful, they never say, this is because of God. He says, this is because I am talented. Look at my talent. I am genius. This is my work. Once there is a failure, he blames the failure on God. You know, the relationship, our relationship with God is just like the relationship of bad children with their parents. Parents are good to their children. They give them, they provide for them, they sacrifice, but children, they never appreciate. Whenever the children are doing good at school, he says, me. He would not say, my mother was always with me, helping me with my homework. She deprived herself food and rest and vacation and this and that just for me to be successful. He would never say that. He says, me, myself. The day he fails, he says, my father. This is my mother. They interfered in my life, and I got failed. Exactly, we do with God the same thing that our children, they do with us, the bad children. Of course, alhamdulillah, there are good children that they always attribute good things to their parents because they have iman, they have akhlaq, they have conscience here. So, وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ مَا مِنْ شَفِيعٍ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ إِذْنِهِ. Again, shafi', there is no intercession in this universe. There are two types speaking about shafa'ah, intercession. Some Muslims, they reject shafa'ah. They reject the concept of intercession, and some Muslims, they believe in it. The Wahhabi tradition, they believe shafa'ah is anti-Islamic. If you believe in the concept of shafa'ah, it means you are non-Muslim. You rejected faith. You are an apostate. This is how they believe. But in the tradition of the Prophet himself and Ahlul Bayt and other moderate Sunnis, they believe the Quran, the Holy Quran speaks about shafa'ah. But he says the shafa'ah is conditional. Shafa'ah is conditional. Shafa'ah is the right of God. But sometimes he gives this right to some and he doesn't give it to others. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. With his leave, with his permission, the Prophet can intercede. Because this right belongs to God. And every time the Prophet wants to intercede, he has to receive the green light from Allah, from God. مَا مِنْ شَفِيعٍ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ إِذْنِهِ ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهِ. This is your Lord. So who was our Lord? If you remember from last week, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ, your Lord, is the one. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. First of all, he created the heaven and the earth in six phases. في ستة أيام. By the way, tonight, tomorrow is the first day of Jumada al-Awwal. We saw the moon. How many of you saw the new moon? Alhamdulillah. So tomorrow is the first of Jumada al-Awwal, the month of Jumada al-Awwal. Rabi' al-Thani ended today, tonight, and tomorrow is Jumada al-Awwal. So, fi sittati ayyam means in six phases and stages and periods. Each period could take billions of years. Fi sittati ayyam. Thumma istawa ala al-arsh. And then, after building the universe, creating, establishing the universe, he established himself on the throne. And this is not physical or literal. This is a metaphor, kinaya. When God sits on the throne, what does that mean? God sitting on the throne. What does it mean? Simple language. God is in control of the universe. Because he sits on the throne. So he is in control of the universe. So don't think that something happens and God is unaware of it. Don't feel sometimes frustrated that someone is doing something bad to you and nobody knows about it. Maybe your mother doesn't know. Maybe your father doesn't know. Maybe your wife does not know. But God knows about it. Because he's mudabbir, he's a manager. Maybe a manager like us, many things happen, he's the last one to know about it. Managers in the Middle East, believe me, are the last people to know about what happens in their own room. They don't know. But God is not a Middle Eastern manager, alhamdulillah. He's a universal manager. He pays attention. So if someone does something bad to you, I know you're going to be hurt. Because people don't know about it. He's hurting you. Nobody knows about it. But don't say nobody. God knows about it. And the best thing in this case, if you cannot defend, some people try to defend themselves, but they can't. In this case, say, do you know what to say? وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. I delegate this problem, this grievance to God. God knows what to do best with it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Leave it to God. And God will take your case. The best attorney. He will take up your case. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ مَا مِنْ شَفِيعٍ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ إِذْنِهِ. And then, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. Again, this is your Lord. فَاعْبُدُوهُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Then worship Him. Worship Him. Don't you understand? You have the best Lord. Worship Him means, let Him be your friend. 2 days ago, we had an interfaith session. Yesterday, not 2 days ago, yesterday noon, Wednesday, we had an interfaith session. They asked me, what is God? What does God represent to you as a Muslim? I said, the best way I can describe God is to say He's my friend. He's my closest friend. He's my most intimate friend. Sometimes I say certain things, I don't even say them to my wife, or to my children, or to my brothers, or to my parents, but I say them to God. I trust Him. I have absolute trust in Him. He's my intimate friend. He's my friend. And if He's my friend, I don't want to hurt His feeling. How do we hurt His feeling? By committing a sin. When we commit a sin, we are not hurting Him. We are hurting our own selves. And because God is more merciful to us than our own selves, He says, if you hurt yourself, I am going to be hurt. It's like a mother. Sometimes some stupid children, they do stupid things, and the children, they don't realize. But the mother, she gets hurt because she says, this is my son. This is my daughter. They don't understand what they are doing to themselves. I know what they are doing. This is exactly how God feels. When we commit a sin, we don't realize. We don't realize because we are intoxicated with this life. But God knows. And God knows this is grave. So He gets hurt because of us. Not because He's wounded. No. He's safe because He loves us. He does not want us to suffer. So if we have such a loving God, why do we bypass Him? Why do we go to something else? We have such a loving God. And the way to Him is very clear. The way to Him is to remember Him, is to speak about Him, is to speak with Him, is not to forget Him. Not only at the time of emergency. فَالسَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. At the time of affluence, when you are comfortable, say, God, I love You. I love You. You are the closest one to me. At the time of a tragedy, say, God, help me. Don't leave me alone. I always say to my children, I always say this, I put it in a simple sentence. I say, my children, we love you. I am a father who loves you. But who loves you more than me is God. Because sometimes you reach a point, I can't come with you. When you board an airplane, I can drop you at the airport. But I can't ride the airplane and come with you. But there is someone called God. He can come with you. He's always with you. So don't feel lonely. So if you have such God, build good friendship with Him. Foster good friendship with God. He would not let you down. He would not disappoint you. Whenever you call the bottom, you push the bottom, He says, yes, sir, I am here. لبيك عبدي. لبيك. Allah says, I am here. May Allah bless you all. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات. Let's recite أمن يجيب المفطر. عده از دوستان و عزیزان ما مبتلای بیماری هستن و حاجاتی دارن این آیه را با هم بخوانیم. ندعو لهم ان شاء الله لقضاء الحوائج وشفاء المرضى. اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. امن يجيب المضطر اذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. امن يجيب المضطر اذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. يا الله اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المريضة المنظورة والمرضى المنظورين. اللهم ألبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.